אנו מכריזים בזאת על הקמת מדינה יהודית בארץ ישראל. היא מדינת ישראל.
People started running in the street and dancing. He was alone in the room. My uncle Amos asked him, "Daddy, why don't you go out with the street and dancing with the people?" He said, "I'm sad because I know how much blood will be shed for our independence."
Hey, I'm Mishi Harman, and this is Israel Story. Israel Story is brought to you by the Jerusalem Foundation and the Times of Israel. So Israel is turning 75, and we feel this is a moment for us to step back and take stock, to ask where we came from, where we are, and where, for God's sake, we're going. And in order to answer those questions, we decided to go back to the basics. Our series, Signed, Sealed, Delivered, looks at our founding moral compass, Megillat HaAtzmaut, or the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence was forged amid strife and turmoil. It was a birth that, everyone knew, would trigger war. Yet it was also a rare moment of unity and agreement, a joint historical, cultural, legal, and to a certain extent, religious case for a Jewish state in the land of Israel. Today, this document looms large once again, and has emerged as a central point of contention as we Israelis debate the future character of our country. 37 people signed Megillat HaAtzmaut. There were no Arabs, and for that matter, no non-Jews among them. But the group that did sign represented many factions of the Jewish population. There were revisionists and Labor Party apparatchiks, capitalists and communists and socialists, kibbutznikim, moshavnikim, and city folk, Haredi rabbis and atheists. Over the course of the past several months, our team has diligently tracked down the closest living relative of each one of these signatories and interviewed them. We talked about their ancestors and families, about the promise of the declaration, the places in which we delivered on that promise, the places in which we exceeded our wildest dreams, and also about the places where we fell short. And it is through these descendants of the men and women who, with a strike of a pen, gave birth to this country of ours, that we wish to learn something about ourselves. Today we'll meet David Ben-Gurion and his eldest grandson, Yariv Ben Eliezer. He'll present one of the many political perspectives we'll be featuring throughout the series. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, we're back. Ben-Gurion, perhaps the most influential Jewish leader since Moses, needs no introduction. Here, though, are a few facts about Israel's first prime minister. It was he who, on May 12, 1948, advocated for what became the name of the state, dismissing the options of Judah, Zion, and Eretz Israel. It was he who pushed, more than anyone else, for the Declaration of Independence, even as Jerusalem and large swaths of the Galilee were cut off, Kibbutz Kfar Etzion had just fallen, and the U.S., days earlier, had explicitly warned that it would not come to the aid of a young state in the event of a military defeat, which, by the way, seemed entirely possible. It was he who wrote in his diary on the day of the declaration, quote, "At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Jewish independence was declared, and the state was founded. Its fate is in the hands of the armed forces." It was he who, just 5 weeks after the founding of the state, gave the order to open fire on the Irgun's arms ship, the Altalena, a decision that some saw as a test of true leadership, and others as a murderous act that would result in civil war. It was he who, though himself a socialist, charted Israel's course away from the Soviet Union. And he who, years later, gave the order to capture Adolf Eichmann and bring him to trial in Jerusalem. Finally, it was he who, while shepherding the state into existence and shaping more or less all of its institutions from the Mossad to the IDF, from the Histadrut Labor Union to the National Bible Quiz, was forced by his wife Paula to eat the same bland porridge, a blend of applesauce and sour cream that she called kuchmuch, every day for breakfast. Here's Ben-Gurion addressing the Knesset and discussing Israel's future on the occasion of his 85th birthday in 1971, 2 years before his death.
We cannot boast that the nation in Israel is already an exemplary nation, and our international status will be determined neither by our supposed material wealth nor by our military might, but by the moral light of our undertaking. And though there are menacing shadows, significant ones, above us right now, we have grounds to believe that we can be an exemplary nation.
My name is Dr. Yariv Ben-Eliezer. I'm a professor of communication. The state was created when I was 8. I didn't know anything. I mean, I didn't know that my grandfather is such an important person. When I started elementary school, I realized that I belonged to a very famous family because kids were teasing me and singing songs about my grandpa. And I would fight them. It was not so easy. Then I started dating. If after a week the girl would say, "Let's see you, grandpa," I said that she doesn't like me, she likes my grandfather. Dropped her. After a couple of cases like this, I met my late wife. She said something good about Begin. I said, "Okay, she doesn't love my grandfather, she loves me." So I offered her to marry, and we got married after 6 months. We were children. She was 19. I was 20 and a half. I was still in the military, and I would run through the fences almost every night to see my wife, and paid for that in prison, but that's a different story. My grandfather has a problem with height, because he was a short guy. So when he saw me, he said, "Wow, good. You brought a tall girl to the family and a beautiful one." And there was a love affair between them. I remember that one day we came for a visit and my grandma asked her, "Dalia, there's no clothes in Israel that you have to go with a mini?" So my grandfather said, "It's nice. She has beautiful legs." I loved him so much. He was a great person. On top of everything, he was a genius in many respects. He knew many languages. He learned Spanish just to read Don Quixote. He learned Greek just to read a Platon. I mean, it's crazy, but unique. He has a great personality when he talks. And I'm sure that if he had been here today, he could have been a great contender to prime minister as far as media is concerned.
So I thought the attitude to all Germans as to Nazis is wrong. It's unjust. I couldn't say that Adenauer is a Nazi. He was not a Nazi.
Violent demonstrations throughout Israel today. Mud money. Guilt money, screamed the crowd, as stones were thrown at the parliament building.
I wish the Chancellor every success in his efforts to guide Germany in its path of democracy and international cooperation.
Thank you very much.
Begin, who was considered to be a great Democrat, gathered thousands of his supporters, like the Bibis today. Each of them holding a rock. And he said to them, because of the agreement Ben-Gurion made with the Germans, I'm telling you today, blood. And they all went to the parliament, to the Knesset, and threw rocks at the Knesset.
At the center of the storm are the negotiations between Israel and Western Germany on reparations to compensate the survivors of Hitler's concentration camps. The survivors insist genocide has no price.
I couldn't forget it to Begin. All the shtick that he did, fine with me. But trying to throw stones and rocks at the Knesset? The same situation occurs in Israel today. Benjamin Netanyahu is in power 15 years. He divided Israel to those who are his followers, we call them Bibistim, and those who don't. Luckily, most of those who don't live in Tel Aviv, so I'm living in a bubble and I live my life quietly. I'm considered to be Smolan because I believe in equality and socialism and freedom to the Palestinian and everything. So I'm a traitor. I went to school at NYU for 6 years and I wished Israel would be like Manhattan. Live and let live. Liberal, patient, tolerant. I envy them. I mean, I would say in one sentence, the country is beautiful. The people of Israel are shit. He was very realistic. He had vision. He was like a prophet in this case.
מדינת ישראל תהיה מושתתת על יסודות החירות, הצדק והשלום לאור חזונם של נביאי ישראל.
I remember very well the last chapter. He wrote it, not just signed it. It says, Israel will take care of equality between people based on age, gender, ethnicity, nationality. See, he believed that Israel would be an example to the other nations. And the people of Israel will be what he called Am Zgula. And this is not. Israel became now a state of apartheid. It was a vision that went down the drain. This is not the dream of the beginners of Israel, and it was not the dream of my grandfather. It's a nightmare. Half of the people will go to the army, and half of the people will study Torah. Fuck! I don't want it. I have grandchildren. They're going to the army, fight for what? For the Hasidic who is sitting, masturbating and getting money for my taxes? This is not the people I want to live with. When I see what's happening in Israel, I'm so proud of my grandfather and sad for him. I'm glad that he didn't see that troubled country now. I'm glad that he can't see that. He would have killed him. I'm an optimistic person. I never give up. I believe that eventually Netzach Israel lo yeshaker. We will survive all the troubles and win.
Mitch Ginsburg and Lev Cohen are the senior producers of Signed, Sealed, Delivered. Our staff also includes Yochai Meital, Zev Levi, Adina Karpuch, Jamal Rishek, Hadas Kidron, Shoshana Sara, Shira Shans Khalil, Ross Berdo, Yael Ben Chorin, and Rotem Tzin. Sela Weissblum is our sound engineer. Zev Levi scored and sound designed the episode, with music from Blue Dot Sessions. Our music consultants are Tomer Kariv and DJ Yoni Turner. And our dubber is Yoav Yefet. The episode was recorded in our very own Nomi Studios. You can catch up on all our regular Israel Story episodes, as well as the other signed, sealed, delivered minisodes, on our site, israelstory.org, or by searching for Israel Story wherever you get your podcasts. You can and should also check out our home at timesofisrael.com/podcasts. And, of course, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all under Israel Story. If you're interested in sponsoring episodes of Israel Story, email us at sponsor@israelstory.org. This series is dedicated to the memory of my beloved father, David Harmon, who was a true believer in the values of the Declaration of Independence, in Zionism, in democracy, and most of all, in equality. I'm Mishi Harmon, and we'll be back next time with another installment of Signed, Sealed, Delivered, and a completely different perspective on Israel's Declaration of Independence. Till then, shalom shalom, and yalla bye. פתאום קם אדם בבוקר ומרגיש כי הוא עם ומתחיל ללכת ולכל הנפגש בדרכו קורא הוא שלום חריצי המדרכת וניחוחות לראשו מעדיפים עצי הזדרכת הכללים רוססים והרים ריבו קרניים הם יולידו חופן שמש לכלולותה פתאום קם אדם בבוקר ומרגיש תיאורן למות משתחוות המלחמות הבאים להוד אלף שנים מפקות במסתרים אלף שנים צעירות לפניו כפלט צונן כשירו עם כענה פתאום קם אדם בבוקר ומרגיש כי הוא עם ומתחיל ללכת כי הוא עם ומתחיל ללכת וכל הנפגש בדרכו קורא הוא שלום בדרכו קורא הוא שלום
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.